How's everybody? Good. Go ahead and turn your Bibles to Colossians chapter 4. And it's like two pages, and I made the mistake of not bookmarking it before I got up here. So that's fun. There we go. Colossians chapter 4. We're going to be in verses 12 and 13 this morning, but before we get started, I kind of want to just give you guys a little update on what we're going to be doing over the next 3 weeks. We're going to be continuing our series on prayer. This summer, we've emphasized prayer, and we're going to continue that journey over the next 3 weeks, and specifically these 3 weeks, we're going to focus on intercessory prayer. And we're going to dive into what exactly that means in just a minute. But that's going to be our focus over the next 3 weeks. And more specifically, answering the question, how can I pray for you? So we've got these amazing t-shirts made. And we'll share more about that in a second. But this morning, we're going to just look at our call to be intercessors. How that it's every Christian's responsibility. It's every Christian's call and duty to be praying for one another. Next week, we're going to look at sort of the anatomy of intercessory prayers and what a prayer request look like, who we should be praying for, what we should be praying for, what the actual makeup of those prayers should be, and then even the prayer receipts, how we follow up with those we've prayed for and the requests that we've prayed for. And then we're going to look the next week after that at how we can persevere in prayer, how we can be faithful and dedicated to a life of intercessory prayer. Because one of the things about intercessory prayer is that it's often met with walking into pain and disappointment. And it's one of those things that we need to be prepared for as a church and to know how to persevere and be persistent in our prayers. And so that's kind of the lay of the land over the next 3 weeks. And we're going to actually end each service or the sermon portion of the service a little bit differently. As you can see, I'm wearing a t-shirt like this, but I'm not the only one. There are plants all throughout the congregation that are wearing these shirts as well. And it's going to go like this. This morning, we're simply going to ask the question, how can I pray for you? So we're going to do a little bit each week. We're going to do a little bit of exposure therapy, right? I'm not a psychologist. I learned this from talk shows. So exposure therapy goes like this. If you're scared of snakes, you go on a talk show and they show you a bunch of snakes and you freak out and you run. And then maybe at the end of it, you are cool with snakes. So that's what we're going to be doing. We're going to be doing exposure therapy. All right, so I'm going to talk for about 25 minutes, and then we're going to cut it short. And what we're going to do is these people that are wearing these t-shirts, we're going to group around them. There should be enough people to try and form groups of like 8 to 10. We don't have this super organized. We tried to calculate the amount of time, like trying to figure out, okay, how long will a prayer request be? How long should we pray for each person times 10? And then, you know, so how much time do we carve out? How many people do we have wearing t-shirts of these people? So we don't have it all that organized. So just try to find somebody wearing a t-shirt and kind of group around them best we can into groups of like 8 to 10. And so that's what we're going to do this morning. And really, all we're doing this morning is coming with a single prayer request. And again, one of the things that's so incredible is that Jesus, as he calls us to be disciples, he wants to form us into his image. And the disciples had extreme exposure therapy when they walked with Christ. And so they got to literally be formed by him. And it's in that vein that we're going to do that this morning. We're going to literally try to be formed by Christ this morning, just coming together and offering a simple prayer request to a brother or sister in Christ, part of our church, and then allowing them to pray for us. And then each week we'll do things a little bit. We'll progress a little bit more. So this morning you've got about 25 minutes, maybe a little bit less, to think of a prayer request and then offer that up when we meet in little groups. So that's how that's going to go. You'll know when it's time. I'll be instructing that. So that's how that's going to go this morning. If you haven't already, turn to Colossians chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. I'm going to give you a second to get there to Colossians chapter 4, and then I'll pray for us before we dive in. Lord, we just thank you for this morning, the incredible worship. We know that you heard our praises. God, I ask now that you hear our prayers, God, that we become a church that is devoted to bearing one another's burdens, to bearing one another's prayers, that we would be a people who believes in prayer. God, that we would come faithfully to you with all our requests. God, that you would actually form us this morning, that your Holy Spirit would do the work that it does to change us, to transform us, to change our hearts, to change our instincts, to change our responses, to bring us peace, to bring us a glimpse of your plan, to bring us the burdens to pray for. God, I just ask that you would change us and transform us, that you would lead this church, and that we would faithfully follow you. God, that we would follow you into prayer. Forgive us for choosing other things over faithfully praying. God, we ask for forgiveness for entertaining ourselves over coming faithfully in prayer. God, for ignoring the prayers of our brothers and sisters in Christ. God, forgive us and make us more like you. Make us compassionate, and that compassion would lead to a response in prayer. Lord, we ask for this time as we dive into your word that it would be an inspiration to us, that it would instruct us, it would convict us, it would do all the things, bear all the fruit that your word bears in our lives. In your name I pray. Amen. Colossians 4, verse 12 and 13. Let me read it for us. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ Jesus, greets you, always struggling on your behalf in his prayers, that you may stand mature and fully assured in all the will of God. Epaphras is not a very popular Bible character, right? He's sort of kind of tucked in there in the final greetings of this letter to the church of Colossae. But what we do know too is that also in Philemon he's mentioned and he is in jail at this point. And so what we know about him is that he was a Gentile and he became a church planner. That he was part of this church, and then he was sent off and became a church planner, and then wound up for at least a portion of his ministry in prison. And so the context of this is Paul writing a letter to this church, and he's letting them know, hey, one of your guys is a prayer warrior. And don't forget, he's been praying for you. And he goes into the details of that. And so that's the context that we read. We're going to look at the story and the makeup of Epaphras and how he is just a quick picture, a quick model of someone who was praying for his church, someone who was a part of his church and was struggling, it says, on their behalf in his prayers. So, before we get too far ahead, I want to just define for us what intercession is. Intercession or intercessory prayers is a word that we're going to be using quite a bit over the next 3 weeks. And if you're new to the faith, if you're new to church, maybe that word just goes right over your head. But intercession or intercessory prayers are just prayers for someone else. That's really as simple as it is. It's just praying for someone else. So when you pray on behalf of someone else and you pray that they might be healed, when you pray that they might get a job closer to home, when you pray that for a relationship conflict in their life to be restored, when you pray for those things, you are interceding, you are an intercessor. Think of the word interception, right? Interception is a message, or more commonly a football, right? That was intended for someone else to carry, but now someone else is carrying it. It's the same idea, right? It's when somebody has a prayer request that they want to go to God with, and you take that same prayer request, that same thing that they're trying to have God move in, and you bring that to God on their behalf. You are an intercessor. And so intercession is simply just praying for other people. I like the way Tricia Rhodes says it this. She says, "This, I believe, is intercession, to stand in the gap between God and needy people." I think that's a beautiful way to put it. As we stand in the gap between God and people who have a need, people who have a desire, people who are hurting or disappointed, who need prayer, we stand in the gap and we pray for other people. And so that's simply what intercession is. It's simply just praying for other people. And we're gonna look deeply at that over the next 3 weeks. The second thing is that intercession is for all Christians, right? Intercession is for everybody. Everybody who is a believer is called to intercede for other people. Let's see if we can get there. I want you guys to picture this. I found this quote. It was beautiful. We can all picture people like this in our lives, people we call prayer warriors, right? Listen to this. It says, this is Mark Buchanan. "I think about people I know, the saints with their swollen ankles or their knobby hands, the rickety prayer warriors who don't have the physical strength to open a pickle jar, but who set whole legions of demons flying for cover when they kneel. Some are pious misfits, holy eccentrics. Most are just ordinary, with nothing but the presence of God to distinguish them from all other people on the face of the earth." What a beautiful picture of people I hope we know in our lives, right? These prayer warriors. There are people in this church that are incredible prayer warriors. People who have duffel bags and trunks full of prayers that they've kept for us, for people in this church. We have people who are devoted to praying for the staff, devoted to praying for people who are sick. And we all know these prayer warriors in our life. I think of one lady who, you know how when we dedicate babies, we often we call people to pray and pray for the families and for the babies. Well, I have two daughters. This lady prays for one of them, right? And I don't say that. Please understand. I'm so thankful for her devotion. Then every time she sees me, she says, "Hey, look, I'm praying for Vanna." Vivi, somebody else has to do that work. You know what I mean, right? Vanna is the one. But she's so dedicated to actually doing it, to actually being an intercessor, that she knows, look, I can't pray for every baby, right? But I'm praying for Vanna. I really committed to praying for Vanna. And it's incredible. It's an incredible way that she intercedes, right? And so we all know these prayer warriors. But intercession is for all Christians. And we need to be careful that when we put these people on a pedestal, that we separate ourselves from that same responsibility, that same duty. Look at how he describes Epaphras. Epaphras, who is one of you. Paul's doing a couple things. One, he's just giving the guy a shout out, right? Like, hey, you know this guy. He's one of you. But in chapter 1, in verse 7, he says, "Just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant." See, Epaphras was just one of the guys. He was one of the members of the church. In some ways, Paul's just, he's anchoring this idea back to the fact that, look, yeah, he was a dedicated and devoted intercessor. But this was built on the fact that he was just a faithful Christian. He wasn't put on a pedestal for that. And so we need to believe that intercession is for all Christians. Scripture affirms this in almost literally every letter to the church. We see even in Acts 1, the whole church is sort of just built on people gathering, devoted to prayer for one another. Ephesians 6:18 says this, "And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. 1 Timothy 2:1, I urge you then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people. Even in Colossians chapter 1 and 9, verse 9, it says, and so, from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom. See, the scripture affirms time and time again, we are all called to pray for one another. We have to be careful with the term prayer warrior, or even assuming that prayer is a spiritual gift set aside for some and not others. Right? See, we're all given spiritual gifts. And it feels weird to say prayer is not one of those, because certainly a prayer is a gift. But prayer is something that we all are called to, every single Christian. Another thing we need to be careful for here is that we have a prayer team at our church. Right? But this prayer team, they're not set aside because they have the gift of prayer. They're set aside because they've volunteered their time and accessibility to pray for people after service and then throughout the week. But see, we're all called to be intercessors, right? There's not a special class of Christian that is called to intercede, right? We all have different personalities. We all do have different spiritual gifts, and those obviously have an impact on our prayer life. But we need to understand that intercession is for all Christians. Intercession is a Christ-like service. It's a Christ-like service. See, one of the things, the ways they describe Epaphras is a servant of Christ Jesus. This man who was dedicated to ministry and to prayer was a servant of Christ Jesus. Intercession comes out of service. It comes out of a heart of compassion and love. See, Dick Eastman says this, the fashioning of an intercessor then begins not so much with a burden to pray as with a burden to love, a burden that leads the intercessor ultimately to intense sessions of compassionate prayer. Tyler Staton says it this way. I think it just paints the picture of service. Intercession is a willing and intentional choice to turn from the endless spiral into ourselves, my desires, my needs, my circumstances, to the desires, needs, and circumstances of others. Intercession is a profound act of love. It was Christ who came as a servant. It was his compassion that led him to the quiet places to pray. Right? It was his service that led him to faithfully interceding on our behalf. See, whenever we understand that intercession is a service, we begin to realize why we don't do it as much. Right? Because we choose other things before we choose to serve others. One of the things that gets in the way of intercession and intercessory prayer for me is just, frankly, YouTube and Netflix. Right? Entertaining ourselves, or maybe the snooze button, just simply sleeping rather than praying for one another. These are the real things that actually get in the way of serving other people in intercessory prayer. Right? I read of these faithful heroes like Martin Luther, who says, he says, the Christian's trade is praying. Right, and he was known to spend all night in prayer. I've never spent all night in prayer, but I have spent all night binge watching Netflix. Right, even when I've had work the next morning, you know. So to think about that, the root of that is just selfish entertainment. Right, Christ wants to turn us into servants. He wants to form us into people who, out of compassion, we go to God with the request of other people. He wants to turn us into serving intercessors. It's a Christ-like service, right? And until we just commit to serving one another because of Christ, we will struggle to intercede for one another. Intercession is a struggle. It's so interesting to me the way Epaphras is described here. It says, always struggling on your behalf in his prayers. Galatians says we're to bear one another's burdens. Intercessory prayer is a way that we bear one another's burdens. Intercession is a struggle. We see this in Christ, right? We see the way that Christ stepped into pain and problems and disappointments. See, intercession prayer, you guys know the types of prayers that these are, right? These are prayers for people who are hurting, who are sick, who are disappointed, who something has gone wrong in their life that they hope for a different outcome. When we take on one another's burdens and when we sign up to be an intercessor, to intercede on people's behalf, we're stepping in to other people's problems, other people's sin, other people's disappointments and pains in life. Right? And to struggle with that. See, he says he struggled on their behalf in his prayers. It's a term that was used for like athletes and wrestling. The idea that there's some strain and there's some frustration there, right? It's a picture of him going with some intensity and going again, a struggle to be praying. And we can go confidently knowing it's Christ who is ultimately interceding. Romans 8:34 says this, who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Hebrews 7:25 says, therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them. Christ is the one who intercedes for us. See, Christ stepped into it. When he stepped into the pain and the problems and the sin, he bore it all. He carried our sin on the cross, ultimately so that he could intercede on our behalf. We can do the same thing. We can go to people and say, I'll take your prayers. I'll take your problems. I'll take your disappointments. I'll take all the burdens, right? I'll bear those in prayer. I will become an intercessor because I know I can take those to God, Christ, who is our ultimate intercessor. We have the power of Christ as our intercessor. And so we can bear one another's burdens. We can struggle in prayer for one another as we intercede. And then last, intercession is a ministry. He continues and he says, not only did he struggle on your behalf in his prayers, that you may stand mature and fully assured in all the will of God, but then in 13, check this out, he says, for I bear witness that he has worked hard for you and for those in Laodicea and Hierapolis. And so intercession, it is a ministry. We can't untie those things. The life that Epaphras had led him on an incredible adventure in ministry, but it had him struggling and confronting deep, deep prayers. And they were just interlocked. It's like you jump on this sprocket of sorts, right? Where it's just by design. You pray for something and then you care about it. You care about it and you work towards it, you work hard, and then you pray more for it. Do you see how it was just completely locked in for Epaphras? This is the cycle that we join. When we seek God's kingdom first, and we begin to move and to work hard towards that, and then we begin to immediately be like, man, I need to be praying for that. And then we start praying for that, and then it brings all this stuff to our attention and to our heart, and then we continue to work hard. It's just this cycle that we go on. Intercession is ministry. We don't separate the hard work of ministering to people in our lives from the times devoted to prayer. They're just intertwined. And so intercession is absolutely a ministry. It's God wants us to be invested. He wants us to be invested in one another's lives. And when we do ministry and we pray for people, we become invested. It's one of the most fascinating things about how prayer works. Jesus calls us to pray for our enemies. And he knows that they won't be our enemies long. Right? When we pray for people, it makes us love them more. It makes us love them better. It's just how it works. And so we're to intercede on behalf of one another because it's just part of our ministry. It's not a special class of Christians. We're all called to it. We're all called to bear one another's burdens and to go faithfully to God with them. So, time has come. We are going to break up into little groups. If you've got the t-shirt on, why don't you go ahead and stand up, and then we're going to break up into little groups around them. This is going to get a little rowdy, so if you need to move chairs or something like that, you can. And then we're going to just spend the next, 20,